Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The first degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
The first degree.
You see it on the news, you see it on the paper, you see it on Facebook.
These things are supposed to happen in movies, not in real life.
You have no idea what's really going on, because if you had asked me, I would have said, oh my gosh, they were the perfect couple together. They were always together, outside, together, walking Lucas, walking the puppies. You never know, because if you had asked me, I would have said, oh my gosh, no, they're so happy. They're just the sweetest couple.
Welcome to The First Degree, the true crime podcast that you might end up on. My name is Jack Vanek. I'm sitting far away from Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen. Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year's, friends.
Happy New Year's.
You know, 2021 looking up, maybe not.
It could be, should be, hopefully will be.
You know, we're hoping for the best. But then I read the news and then I just spiral very fast down.
I think a life lesson, just hope for the best, expect the worst, mentally prepare for the worst, but also prepare for triumph over said worst.
Yes.
We can do this.
We are triumphing this year. Year of the triumph. Billy, what day is it today?
All right. So it is National Take a Poet to Lunch Day.
Oh.
And any other days?
I will say that I
don't know any poets.
I feel like
I was named class poet.
I feel like Billy said this one because he wants a free lunch.
I feel like we got this last year and you said it too. Like, I feel like we've heard this before.
No, I just think that there has been other poet days because, I mean, then we can bring, you know, the owl poem back into the loop because that's been forgotten about.
Can I get a free lunch tomorrow, Lex?
You bought me lunch today, so sure, I'll buy you lunch tomorrow.
There you go.
All right.
But if you buy our work bottle of bourbon tomorrow also, because I paid you back for that. But that's yes. True. So
anyways,
poet, tell us more.
It's also National Take Down the Christmas Tree Day.
Oh.
Which is a little late. The Christmas tree should have been down before that.
My Christmas tree
decorations
still
are still up. Me too. My lights are still up too. It brings me joy. I am still clinging to it. I'm not ready to let it go.
Look at my little lights above me. I have little string icicle lights that I put up over my artwork in my apartment, and they bring the perfect amount of light into my apartment.
Babe, they look perfect. Don't take them down. Give it one more week.
I'll give it one
more
week.
Because they're fun. It feels good.
Something to hold on to.
Anyway.
It does. And I will say, in my neighborhood of Toluca Lake, nobody has taken down their Christmas lights yet. It's like everybody is just hanging on to it right now more than they've ever had before. So, but I will also say this, it's National Bean Day. And have you guys seen the Bean Dad?
The bean. Wait, is this the one where they put the beans in his computer?
No.
Oh,
it's a guy that his daughter was hungry and didn't know how to use the can opener. And he said, I'm not going to let you figure out how to use the can opener. You got to do it yourself. And she wasn't able to eat for 6 hours. He's the bean dad. It became a thing on Twitter for the last 2 days. And a lot of people were talking about him being like weight shaming and all of that.
Oh, well, that's.
I'm not into it, honestly. Like, open the fucking thing for me.
Exactly. I'm not good at opening a can opener, but I do have to say, and I will post this in our Facebook group. There is also the most incredible YouTube video, viral video of this guy played a prank on his friend where he filled his computer up with beans. And then they had to call like a maintenance guy to come check why the computer wasn't working. And he opens it up and there's a bunch of beans in it. It is the best video I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm going to post it in our Facebook group because beans, it's just, who knew beans were so hilarious?
I'm into it for sure.
I love beans. Well, I don't love beans, but I love a bean prank. Well, right. You know, that's enough of that. So let's turn down the lights.
And turn up your anxiety.
Because this could be you.
Today's case takes us back to Tuesday, December 27th of 2005. Songs Don't Forget About Us by Mariah Carey and Must Be Doing Something Right by Billy Currington were on the radio. Movies playing in theaters were Cheaper by the Dozen 2, Fun with Dick and Jane, The Ringer, Casanova, and The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and The Wardrobe.
And the setting for today's case is Gateway, Florida, which is in Lee County. This city is located in the southwest portion of the state, encompasses a little over 6 square miles. The area is almost entirely made up of upscale townhome communities, the kind with lots of pools, golf courses, man-made ponds. Pretty idyllic and seemingly incredibly safe. Our first degree, Lisa Potter, called one of these communities home, so we'll let her tell you more about it.
Our neighborhood was a, quote, gated community. You could walk in on either side of the gates. You could walk in between people's houses. It wasn't like a secured gated neighborhood. And it was two circles. The only entrance and exit was the gate. You couldn't get out anywhere else.
So these communities feel friendly. They feel safe, especially on a date like December 27th, a date that falls within those handful of days between Christmas and New Year's, days we all recently experienced. Each of those days feels like an ideal time to hibernate. Lots of people stay in their jammies, and every one of those days feels like a Sunday, as you lose track of time and space. So Lisa was home this morning, right around 7 a.m., and it's at that time that she decided to take their dog for a walk, and it's when she normally took the family dog for a walk. And after she was done and was returning home, something caught her eye. It was a friend of hers and another resident of the same gated community named Tracy Gaydash, who was a deputy for the Lee County Sheriff's Department. Tracy was walking away from a home that belonged to a different set of neighbors, a couple named Michelle and Stephen Andrews. And in Tracy's arms, as she walked, was the couple's 2-year-old son, Lucas.
Our house was just a couple doors in, and then Stephen and Michelle, they were a few doors down from us. That morning, I was walking our dog, which I did every morning. And when I came back in the neighborhood, I, of course, was facing their house. And Tracy, who was one of our very good friends, who was also a cop, can't even describe it. She kind of just came running out of the house really weird, and she's holding Lucas. And I just looked at her, and I said, Tracy. And then I put my hands up, and, you know, I mouthed, you know, what the fuck, but I was just mouthing it to her just as a joke, like, what are you doing? And she just had the weirdest look on her face, and she just said, can you help me? And I said, yeah. So I walked down, and I go, what's going on? And she goes, can you just take the baby for me? And I said, yeah. I'm like, what's going on? And she had the most odd look on her face.
Okay. So some context about Lisa's friend, Deputy Tracy Gaydash, and how she ended up holding the baby of this couple at 7 a.m. 2 days after Christmas. So Tracy was a police deputy for the Lee County Sheriff's Department. And she lived in the same gated community. And she also patrolled the area itself. So she was always around that area. She was on call and working when a 911 call came in, which prompted the dispatcher to request an officer to go check on the house in the community. And as this house belonged to one of Tracy's neighbors, Tracy said, I know where that is. I'll go and check it out. Michelle and Stephen Andrews had lived in the neighborhood for a little over a year. Now, the home had 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2 stories, and a pool. And it was decked out in Christmas decorations. But here's the thing about this 911 call.
She happened to be on call when they said, we have a 911 call from inside a house in Cypress Point, but we can only hear breathing. And Tracy's like, that's my neighborhood. And so she's like, oh, I know them. I'll take it.
Records of that 911 call show that the first few minutes of silence made it seem as though there was nobody on the line at all. But then the 911 dispatcher heard what sounded like a baby on the other end. The transcript of the call noted a, quote, young child saying mama over and over and over again. So Tracy arrived and approached the home, and she's talking with dispatch as she does this. And dispatch is still on the line with whoever called 911 from inside the house.
She went up and she's like knocking on the door and she's saying, everything seems fine. And they said, well, every time you knock, there's a little sound on the end of the phone, like a little, like he was going, you know, saying something, like making a little noise each time she knocked.
What the dispatcher was hearing was 2-year-old Lucas Andrews on the line, and he was, you know, making baby noises.
The door was open. She went in and she said to them, oh, I'm here. It's their son. They must be asleep. Everything's fine.
But everything was not fine. Lucas seemed to be alone, and he was holding the phone in his hands, and he was wearing a pair of blood-stained white socks. The Naples Daily News reported that, quote, there was a tall Christmas tree by a window and a small teddy bear wearing a Christmas tree sweater set out at the front of the staircase. There were 3 stockings hung underneath a picture of a beach scene, and the largest red stocking, the one hung in the center, was for Lucas. And while this house looked decorated and seemed to be cheery and festive, it was eerily quiet. And Tracy, once she entered, continued to look around.
Well, Lucas kind of took her hand and pulled her upstairs.
Tracy took the phone from Lucas and started to search the home for his parents, Michelle and Stephen Andrews, who, remember, she was actually acquainted with. She went up the stairs and pushed the door of the master bedroom open. And it's when she entered the master bedroom that she made a truly awful discovery. She opened the door and she saw a pair of nude legs on the floor. She looked further and saw that there were 2 bodies on the floor. Michelle and Stephen Andrews were dead.
Michelle was blocking the door. He had kind of posed her, but blocking the entrance. And she could just see, I think, Steve on the floor, but he was kind of behind the bed. That's when she grabbed Lucas and came running down the stairs, calling for help, came running out as I'm walking in the, you know, it's just, that's the timing. She had just found that scene, was coming out when I'm coming in going, what are you doing? And I think she was trying to process, you know, that look on her face. She was, could have never expected that in a million years.
So after Tracy made this discovery, she asked Lisa to take Lucas. And Lisa said, of course.
And I was like, I'm taking Lucas back to the house. So we went back and I kind of was saying to him, I'm like, what is going on at your house? You know, like he can answer. We went in and, you know, I was kind of like, is your mommy okay? Just and he just kept kind of looking at me, and I said, you know, let's get something to eat. So then I put him on the counter, and that's when I noticed he had blood on him. He had blood on his socks and blood on his pants. And I was like, oh man. I'm like, so in my head I'm thinking Michelle fell, had been knocked unconscious, you know, I mean, I was not thinking there was some horrible thing going on there.
Due to the fact that the crime scene was a neighboring home and Lisa was friends with the officer who discovered the scene, it didn't take long for Lisa and her family to find out that something absolutely horrible had happened. 28-year-old married couple Michelle and Stephen Andrews were dead. And while the scene would need to be processed and autopsies would need to be conducted, it appeared that Michelle had been beaten to death and Stephen died from a gunshot wound. And this was horrific news to digest, especially as Lisa was holding their 2-year-old son, who would never see his parents again.
Meanwhile, Lisa's own family were at home and slowly starting to wake up. Here's Lisa's daughter, Meg, who was in 7th grade at the time this happened.
I walked out of my room and there was like 15 people in the living room. And I just like looked at my mom.
When Meg came downstairs, she saw Lucas in her mom's arms. And she was understandably extremely confused at what was going on.
She was like, his parents were killed last night. And I went back in my room and kind of got dressed. And then like a couple hours later, I walked over. They had like the whole area taped off. There was like every type of investigative truck in the neighborhood. CSI, police, like all the investigative newspapers, all the news cameras.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't. And the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST. Those who knew the couple were absolutely crushed. Michelle and Stephen were both from Minnesota and had gotten married in 2000. Their move to Florida was prompted by an opportunity for Stephen to work for a landscape architecture company, where he worked as a manager. They bought a home on Eagle Point Circle in Gateway, Florida. Michelle worked as a nutritionist in Fort Myers. And the couple had Lucas in 2003. Both Stephen and Michelle were very close to their families, and Michelle, in fact, was so close to her parents that they actually moved to Florida from Minnesota to follow their daughter there in 2004 after their grandson was born. And when the news of Michelle and Stephen's death broke, both sets of parents happened to be in town for the holidays. Remember, this is just 2 days after Christmas. So it's no shock that both families were completely beside themselves with this news.
And we were friendly with them because they were a younger couple, but the neighborhood, we all kind of knew each other. We all had barbecues and drank. Most of us knew each other in our one whole big circle. And they were always very active. And we were always outside. They would always come by. And we had a big old golden retriever and they had a puppy golden. So they'd stop with Lucas and talk to us. But we were very friendly with them.
As shock slowly moved through the neighborhood, crime scene investigators entered the home and started analyzing the scene. And according to the Naples Daily News, when the authorities entered the room, they could see bloody handprints on the teal walls of the bedroom. And even more horrifying, it appeared that Michelle's body was found placed in what the ME's report described as an erotic pose. There were bloodstains all over the bedroom, as well as signs of a struggle on Michelle's side of the bed. It seemed as though Michelle was dragged from the bed, and in the process, she actually pulled the sheets off the bed. Michelle's hair was covered in blood, but it seemed as though someone had made an attempt to clean some of the blood off of her body. Michelle's nightgown was pulled up, and they observed that her face had been horribly beaten. The body of Michelle's husband, Stephen Andrews, was found on the floor. He was face down on the carpet.
During the search of the Andrews home, a picture of who this couple was, what they liked, what they disliked, and even what they were going through personally seemed to emerge. They had miniature surfboards, several guitars, and a big unfinished bowl of popcorn in the living room. And Stephen's obituary would later note that popcorn was his favorite snack. The Naples Daily News reported that the police found a sticky note inside a phone book which bookmarked a page of local marriage counselors. And a pink note card on top of a phone book read, "Stephen, I love you with all of my heart, Michelle." Upstairs, inside the master bedroom, the couple kept a wedding photo on the dresser and a copy of the Joel Osteen inspirational book, Your Best Life Now.
Meanwhile, Lisa's house had become a hub of activity.
It hadn't registered that there were like 30 cop cars outside yet. So anyway, our house ended up being like, they all started coming in there. So at one point, there were probably 15, 20 cops in there. They were kind of using it as their little central place.
Concerned friends and neighbors started showing up at Lisa's house as well.
Slowly, neighbors are walking down to see Tracy because we're all really good friends. And she keeps saying, go to Lisa's, go to Lisa's. So then they were all coming to my house. And each time they came, someone had a little bit more piece of information, but they thought it was murder-suicide because he was at this point still laying on the floor with his arms under him, and they thought that he probably had a weapon, and she had been beaten to death. So they thought they got in some terrible fight.
A murder-suicide, which became the investigation's preliminary theory. It was clear that Michelle had been beaten to death and Stephen had been killed by a gunshot. Murder-suicide seemed to be even more likely the case when investigators learned that there had been infidelity in their marriage. And while the police had been at Lisa's house, they had probed her about what she knew about this young couple.
Michelle was very good friends with a younger girl in the neighborhood. She had confided in her. So when they were asking us all these questions, we were saying, you know, we don't know them intimately, but she was very good friends with Sarah. Sarah may know some information. So they went to Sarah's house, and she had no idea what was going on. She hadn't been outside. And so they asked her, they said, was there any issues within the couple? And she said, oh, Michelle thought he was having an affair.
In fact, Lisa's daughter Megan had been on the periphery of one of these conversations where Michelle disclosed to friends about the affair without even realizing it. Here's Megan, who was in seventh grade when Michelle and Stephen Andrews died. And she had babysat Lucas on a few occasions. And this took place at Michelle's friend's house in the same community.
Their son was super cute, super sweet. And they were close friends with a couple down the street that had a couple kids. There's a big group of kids that we all used to play on the street. But that couple, when they had a baby, a couple of the other girls and I used to go over and we'd babysit while they were home just to like learn how to babysit. So the only real time that I had had experience with them right before was after she had found out about the affair. She actually went over there when I was babysitting. So I didn't know what was going on at the time, but I knew there was stuff that was kind of tense.
So what had happened was, which, you know, we thought they were a very happily married couple. That's how you, why you never know. But Steve was having an affair with a girl at work.
With this revelation, the murder-suicide theory now carried even more weight, right? Maybe Michelle was threatening to leave him and take Lucas after uncovering the affair. Maybe there was an explosive fight that triggered some buried rage in Steven. These are all logical thought processes.
Killed her and then killed himself. Well, you know, this is just the stuff that's going on at the time that you're thinking because you're just hearing these tidbits. They were like, did any of you hear anything last night? And we said no.
And meanwhile, media coverage of the case was picking up momentum that started with local coverage but exploded into national coverage. And this is why.
It had made national news because Lucas is the one who was holding the phone for the 911 operator. There was no one else in the house. So there, it made like national news that an 18-month-old had dialed 911 and his parents were dead upstairs.
The public was shocked and seemingly mystified by the fact that 2-year-old Lucas appeared to be the person who dialed 911. If this was a murder-suicide, and he was the only one in the house, and the 911 dispatcher heard him on the phone, this had to be the only explanation, right?
So at this point, the community had started accepting the fact that an unthinkable murder-suicide was the reason these two people were dead.
They're still thinking it's murder-suicide. The news people are all parked outside. They come to get Lucas. Michelle's parents were at the station to take him. And because both sets of parents were in town for the holidays, I got Lucas out and then I went in and I was like, something's really weird. And I left and I ran down to Tracy's house.
But there was just one detail that wasn't making sense to Lisa.
I go, could Steve or Michelle have called 911? There is no way he dialed 911. I said, there's no way. She said, no. She said they were dead, you know. She's like, it's not like they dialed it and then died. She's like, and I said, oh my gosh, I am so creeped out.
The pieces were slowly coming together.
I go, that means someone else was in that house. Because I go, he did not dial 911. And I mean, I could just tell I had him for 4 hours. He could barely talk. He wasn't dialing 911. He had no interest in the phone.
So Lisa is sitting in Deputy Tracy's house discussing her doubts about Lucas's ability to dial 911. And then Tracy's phone rang. It was one of the investigators working on the case.
They asked Tracy something and she looked at me kind of weird and then she hung up and I go, what?
Here's the thing. The murder-suicide theory hinged on the belief that when Steve Andrews' body was ultimately moved, they would discover the gun he used to end his own life under his body, which is something that's rather common in such scenarios. I mean, this happens where you find the murder weapon under somebody who's taken their life. But, you know, when Tracy hung up the call she had taken in front of Lisa, what you told Lisa would completely change the course of this investigation, causing even more pain and suffering to the loss of this young couple.
And she said they just asked if there was any way Lucas could have moved the murder weapon. Oh, my gosh. She said, yes, yeah, someone else was in that house. Because they thought when they rolled Steve over, they were going to find a gun under him, and they didn't. And he had been shot. So they knew now that it wasn't murder-suicide.
So this case that initially seemed so cut and dry is now a thousand shades of gray. And the reality of what occurred in the Andrews home the day after Christmas was far more chilling than anybody could have ever imagined. Because this meant that someone came into this beautiful suburban home in the dead of night. They shot Stephen, they beat Michelle, they posed her grotesquely, attempted to clean up, and then left Lucas alone with his dead parents. And the fact that Lucas hasn't called 911 presented an even more disturbing notion.
It was insane. I mean, it really was. You've got this little boy, you know, and so they think he's dialed 911 and he hasn't. Someone was in the house and he came back and cleaned up.
That's right. Whoever killed this couple returned at 7 a.m. the following morning, called 911 themselves, and put the phone in the toddler's hand and left him alone while his dead parents laid upstairs.
And this begs the very obvious question. If it's not a murder-suicide, who would want to kill this young couple? And more importantly, why? The investigation that followed on the heels of these revelations would reveal secrets about a couple who appeared outwardly to be perfect.
You have no idea what's really going on. Because if you had asked me, I would have said, oh my gosh, they were the perfect couple together. They were always together, outside, together, walking Lucas, walking the puppies. You never know, because if you had asked me, I would have said, oh my gosh, no, they're so happy. They're just the sweetest couple. And they were, when they were together. They were just a super sweet couple.
On next week's episode, we're going to take you through the investigation, the evidence that reveals the identity of this cold-blooded killer, and among many other details, the confusing notion of a killer brutally killing a set of parents only to return the following morning to call 911 to rescue a toddler. It's bizarre, and we are just getting started on this case, so you guys have to hang tight and come back next week.
And until then, a huge, huge thank you to Lisa and Meg for being our first degrees this week. They will be with us until next week. If you are listening out there and you have a story you would like to tell us, please email us hello@thefirstdegreepodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram at The First Degree, at Alexis Linkletter. At Alexis Linkletter. I can't speak today. At Billy Jensen.
I'm fine with that.
Jack.
I'm here for that.
I know. You know, it's the first Monday of the year. Join our Facebook group. We're talking true crime all the time. And stick around, because we're going to kill sometime.
And remember, only you can prevent serial killers. And keep your friends close.
But not that close.
Happy
Bean Day.
Very ethical. Happy
frijoles for everyone.
Make sure to watch that bean computer video.
Love you guys. Beep, beep.
Shout out to Jared Monaco for sound design and for creating original music for The First Degree. Our producing team, Caitlin Cleveland, Taylor Rogers, and Alan Santiago for Podcast One. Sources for today's episode include Naples Daily News, the Cape Coral Breeze, the Star Tribune, court documents, and as always, our First Degree guests are always our largest source.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
All right. Well, welcome to yet another first episode of the year of Killing Time. And I would just like everybody to know that we do a little sound check before every episode. And I think, I mean, this day's sound check was just saying the word testicle over and over and over again. And I think that maybe that's our thing.
Well, I think to be clear, I said that it's the test of us for the rest of us. Which I said on repeat, thinking it was really funny. No one really responded or laughed.
No, you said it's the testicles for the resticles.
Okay, that's true.
I'm uncomfortable with all of this.
You're not wrong, I mean, Jack. You're right. I misremembered from 5 minutes ago. You're right.
We can roll the tape because Billy was also saying testicles, so he acts like he's uncomfortable, but he is not. You fully committed to testicle talk. Billy,
you're all about this. Don't lie.
Billy, maybe that's like another offshoot of the first degree where you and Jared can have testicle talk. Does that interest you?
That's the next big podcast is me and Jared talking about testicles.
Yeah, or just guy stuff. But that's just the catchy name, testicle talk.
All right. I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to trademark it by the time Wednesday rolls around.
I'm going to buy the domain.
Billy, we already have it, so... Nobody else try to do testicle talk before this airs. Billy, do you want to share the glass that you're drinking out of? Because it was quite adorable.
Yes. So I'm drinking out of, and I got this at the Rose Bowl flea market.
A great one.
And it's the Superman movie. One of the glasses. It's Lois Lane is saved by her hero. And the reason why I liked it is because Lois Lane is typing, because I love Lois because she's a reporter. Mm-hmm. And then Superman comes in and then saves her, which I actually don't like. But this is the glass that I decided to buy out of all the glasses that were in this guy's, you know,
collection. Trough.
But, you know, Burger King had these or something like that, so this is what I drink out of.
Billy's a big, big fan of a vintage water glass.
Who's not? I mean, who doesn't love a receptacle that has the charm of vintage air?
Yes. Yeah. You don't know.
And lead paint, which will probably and like, will drive me insane.
We all get people's germs. We all get too much sunlight anyway. Like, there are tons of things that kill us. It might as well be something reminiscent of something nostalgic, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
It has a life. So
that's
in
what
it.
That's what I think all the time. Might as well.
Might as well.
Might as well.
Nostalgia,
you know.
Might as well.
And then Billy's also has some kind of a C-3PO ice cube.
Oh yes. So what? To prove that I'm more of an alcoholic,
which is. Sounds like you're on the sauce right now.
My bourbon is being served in a glass that has an ice cube that is the Death Star.
Oh, the Death Star.
That
Death Star C-3PO, same fucking thing, by the
same
way.
Same thing.
Wait. Is it
Joe from Joke Productions, who produced our Unraveled show and all the other shows. She gave that to me along with some bourbon, which is long gone by now, but I still have.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. She says, did you drink it all?
But I still, you know what? And it really does make a perfect Death Star. So I love it. I make the Death Star, you know, it 2.5 hours comes out, boom, I put it in there. Then I put in some bourbon and then I'm drinking out of the Death Star.
And the Death Star was one of the ships. So it's like it's sitting within space of the bourbon, and then the Death Star ice cube is just floating around in the ether.
I wouldn't say it was one of the ships. I would say it was one of the things that would kill millions of people.
But to my point, isn't C-3PO the same shape? Wouldn't C-3PO like also be a...
He's like a garbage sphere? Can.
Okay, no. R2-D2 is a garbage
D2,
can. It looks like a garbage can.
Okay, C-3PO is very human-like. The gold boy. He's a goldie boy.
I was wrong. He is the goldie boy. I was
he's the OG goldie boy.
I was thinking about that ball that rolls around.
That's me too.
That would be BB-8. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was an embarrassing conversation to anybody that knows anything about Star Wars.
Sorry, everyone.
Okay. So, sorry. I know it's embarrassing, but I will never watch Star Wars.
Here we are.
So, here we are. So, you know, we're going back to some good old cues from the Facebook group. And I want to start one off with asking you guys, what is one of your favorite or best life hacks that you use? Because I just used my favorite one and it just brought me to thinking about other fun life hacks that people might not know about that make their life easier. Do you guys have any?
Tell me about yours.
The one that I used is if you have a room temperature bottle of wine that you need to chill very, very quickly, what you do is you run paper towels under sink water, wrap it around that baby, and throw it in the freezer. And within like 15 minutes, your bottle of wine is ice cold.
Oh, I have a good life hack. That's an amazing life hack. And you can do it with champagne too. My life hack is when you're cold all the time, like I tend to be and like Jacqueline often is, you just – and you're cold all night and you shiver into the night in coldness and sadness, what you do is you put an electric blanket under your fitted sheet and you blast it to the highest you can and you sleep. You sleep for the first like 3 hours like a swaddled baby, like in an incubator, right? Like you've jaundice.
And you're bringing you back into the womb.
Baking into fucking nirvana. And then, only then, 3-4 a.m. rolls around and you start sweating mercilessly and then you turn it off and then you start shivering and you're like, this is a nightmare. And then you turn halfway and then you're hot again and it throws you off the entire day because I was shivering my whole life. But the 3 hours while I was swaddled in warmth was worth all of the pain following the confusion of my temperature.
I feel like doing that might make you sick or something
it's a life hack for 3 hours of comfort
and 21 hours of pain.
That's right. I would highly recommend.
I've been like waking up with some really bad night sweats recently, and I don't know what it's from. And I haven't been sleeping with
under your mattress pad.
No. I think I've just been like I'm freaking out about life and it's manifesting with a night sweat.
Oh no. Well, maybe that's what mine is, and I just think it's my heated blanket under my mattress pad, but it's really just me.
doom and gloom anxiety, as we say, you know?
That's right. Well, you know I only wear black because I'm sweating all the time. I mean, that's come on.
That's a life hack, you know? No sweat stains if you're wearing a black shirt.
About sweat stains, just wear black turtlenecks that are really tight, and then no one can see your sweatiness. No, navy's fine, but sometimes navy in the daylight, you can see it. Black is always foolproof. I'm the sweatiest person I've ever lived. Sorry.
That is a great life hack. Billy, do you have a life hack that you would like to share with our listeners?
You know what? My life hack really is... God, you know what? The black thing is real. And I do wear a lot of black because I don't want to sweat. I don't want black is so amazing in that it hides everything that you're feeling.
Oh.
Both physically and mentally.
Okay.
You're wearing black, you're sweating, but it doesn't show. You're wearing black, you're anxious, you're depressed, but it doesn't show. That is the reason why I wear black. And I think that's my life hack.
Okay. So your life hack is you just stole Alexis's life hack.
That's fine. Flattery is the best compliment.
Imitation
is the best form of flattery. I appreciate that, Billy. Thank you. I'll try to bring more life hacks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll bring double next time. Okay, this was a good question. What was a restaurant that you grew up thinking was like super fancy as a kid that you now have realized is not fancy?
TGI Fridays, obviously. I was like, Jack Daniel's buffalo chicken, that must be expensive. Jack Daniel's is in your marinade? I was like, this is wild. And then I learned, like, I was like, oh, you couldn't pay me to drink that. I mean, I would at like Stagecoach because, like,
that's really good.
When in Rome,
Yeah, one in Rome. That is pretty good. Because they did, and they'd have like some fancy seafood dishes there too. Yeah,
they were like Jack Daniel's steak and Jack Daniel's chicken with like a this kind of glaze on some scramps and then like a mudslide. I'm like thousands of dollars deep by the end, by the time you're done with that meal.
Five-star like, restaurant.
As an adult, I was a hostess at TJ Fridays. I thought it was like the creme de la creme, right? When I was like in middle school or high school, who knows whatever the fuck. But then now as an adult, I'm like, Jack Daniel's, dear God, I'd sooner die than ingest it.
I mean, TGI Fridays is definitely.
I love Jack Daniel's. I'm kidding. I would drink it, but still, you know what I mean?
Yes, Jack Daniel's, please be a sponsor on this show.
I drink Jack Daniel's all the time, have been for the past far too long. No, with TGI, I mean, TGI Fridays is definitely a go-to spot when we're on tour on the road because there's always one in the middle of nowhere. Anyway.
You can always count on them. That's the truth.
Yeah. And they're pretty consistent, you know?
Yes.
Their fries are good.
You know what? TGI Fridays is the first place that I was introduced to potato skins.
Any sort of potato dish is a skin, fry, like you make it, I'll eat it.
My sister who had, she was a half sister. She had a father in California and she was just like, oh, I know about this. And she took us to this place and she was like, get this. And it was potato skins
from TJ Fridays.
Bacon and cheese. And it was amazing.
What a
delight.
That was
the first time I ever had it. So I think TGI Fridays is
I think that it was the first time that I ever had a loaded baked potato. Mm. You know?
Sour delightful. Cream, little bacon bits, chives, cheeses.
Some jack cheese spread on the top of it.
Can't you guys?
My restaurant that I thought was super fancy, and I don't know if they have these everywhere, but a Sizzlers.
Oh, Sizzlers.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh.
Because at Sizzlers, you get the free cheesy bread.
Oh, my God.
And then I mean,
and Red Lobster are on par with each other.
Yeah, but at Sizzler, they had the buffet. And when you're a kid, so they have the kids buffet. They have the dino chicken nuggets and the mac and cheese and stuff. But then when you're a kid and you want to be like super sneaky, then you can go over to the adults buffet. And that's where it's super fancy.
Do you guys remember in buffets, they'd have like pudding?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's like that was the thing about when I was a kid. It was like you have like three kinds of pudding. And I'd be like, lobbing shit on with this ladle, and I'd be like, holy shit, I can have as much pudding as I want. And that was the most exciting thing about buffets to me, pudding. And like, that's it though, because everything else was like, I don't want more lettuce, I don't want more salads.
Oh, well, it was all about the desserts, because it's Sizzlers again, they had their pudding. Soft serve ice cream
for some reason. Oh my God, pudding was the jam.
You know what, Alexis, I know exactly what you're talking about. The pudding and was just like, oh my God, this pudding.
What's the pudding that, because I remember this from Sizzler, they'd have, it was like red, but then it also had like thicker white, like kind of cubes in it. They had that kind of a pudding, and that was also a fancy pudding.
Oh, red pudding.
No. Bread? No. They were both, tapioca? It was like a jello within, rice? No.
Tapioca or rice?
No, because the white parts were cubes. They were like a gelatin cube within the rest was the red pudding.
Oh, the yes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You were eating people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cannibals.
Yeah. It was the blood and body of Christ.
It was a cannabis for the rest of us.
Yes. So sorry, but that's what you were doing. So
guys are embarrassed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was fancy. Billy, do you have a different fancy restaurant? Or are you now also taking Alexis's TGI Fridays?
The fancy restaurant, we had a restaurant called Cookies on Long Island. It was in Hicksville. And they had a salad bar and a dessert bar. It was very similar, but it was just so amazing that you could load up all of this stuff. And I remember in the dessert bar, like you would get like you could put a brownie and then put the ice cream on the brownie. And it was just so amazing. So Cookies was my place. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And also at Sizzlers that I forgot about? The baked potatoes. Those. Make your own baked potato and they came in the foil. Oh, it's just like luxury, you know?
I'm here for that.
Oh, I love it. Well, I mean, I had so many questions on our little thing, but I think we killed some time.
We did kill some time. I mean, listen, guys, we were just vibing tonight. We just riffed. We went for it. The time we killed, 15:22. Beep, beep.
Beep.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.